Okay, so get ready for this. Today, we're taking a deep dive into some really fascinating stories from the Book of Two Kings.
Yeah.
We've got these excerpts from a lecture by Dr. John Oswalt,
okay,
where he kind of unpacks these two stories that seem totally unrelated at first.
Mm-hmm.
One is about this servant, Gehazi, who gets all caught up in a web of deceit.
Oh, wow.
And the other story is about like a lost axe head that miraculously floats.
Huh.
And I think people are probably listening thinking, what could these two possibly have in common?
Yeah, that's a good question. What is the connection?
And that's exactly what we're going to try to figure out today.
Well, what's so interesting to me about these two stories is that on the surface, they seem completely different.
Right.
But they both really speak volumes about truth and consequences and like the nature of God's provision.
So let's start with Gehazi. He was the servant of the prophet Elisha, and Elisha had just performed this incredible miracle. He healed Naaman, who was a really powerful Syrian commander. He healed him from leprosy.
Wow.
And so naturally, Naaman is like super grateful, right?
Yeah.
And he wants to shower Elisha with all these amazing gifts, silver, gold, whatever he wants.
I can imagine.
But Elisha, he's a man of integrity.
Right.
And he's really reliant on God, so he refuses to accept any of it.
He does.
Yeah. And he actually swears by God. He says, I will not accept a thing.
Wow.
It's a pretty powerful statement about his commitment to his calling.
That's a big statement.
I can only imagine like watching all that wealth just walk away.
Right.
And so this is where Gehazi comes in. He sees all this happening and he's thinking, wait a minute. My master's totally missing out here.
Oh, no.
He thinks Elisha's making a huge mistake.
Wow. So he's basically disagreeing with how Elisha's responding to this.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And what's really interesting is that Gehazi, he uses the same language that Elisha used.
Mm-hmm.
He even invokes God's name when he's making this oath.
Oh, wow.
But it's a deceptive oath, right? It's like a mirror image of Elisha's genuine oath.
All right.
But Gehazi's totally driven by greed. And it just really highlights the difference between their intentions. Elisha's rooted in truth, trusting God.
Right.
While Gehazi is blinded by this desire for personal gain.
Yeah, he wants those riches.
So what does Gehazi do? He cooks up this elaborate lie.
Oh, no.
And tells Naaman that Elisha's had a change of heart.
Really?
And actually would like some of those gifts after all.
He didn't.
And he even goes so far as to ask for double the amount.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about audacity.
That is bold.
I mean, after working with Elisha for years, did he really think he could get away with this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, sin can really cloud our judgment, can it?
Oh, absolutely.
And you notice how Gehazi tries to cover his tracks. He hides the treasure, thinking he's been so clever.
Yeah.
But he totally underestimates Elisha's spiritual awareness. I mean, Elisha has mentored him for years.
Yeah. And you know that feeling of panic, like when you try to hide something you know you shouldn't have done?
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there, right?
Absolutely. We all have those moments. And just like we can't hide from our own conscience, we certainly can't hide from God.
That's so true.
Elisha confronts Gehazi. But it's not with anger. It's with a sense of sorrow.
Yeah.
He reveals that he was spiritually present with Gehazi the whole time, aware of every deceitful step he took.
It's like that moment when you realize you've been caught red-handed. There's just no escaping the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And the consequences, they're swift and severe. Gehazi is struck with the very same leprosy that Naaman had been healed from.
Wow, what a powerful image. Infected with the very disease he was trying to profit from.
This story really challenges us to think about the long-term consequences of our actions. Especially when we choose short-term material gain over integrity and God's values.
Right.
It's a reminder that true fulfillment can never be found in worldly possessions.
Yeah.
Only in aligning ourselves with what truly matters.
It really makes you wonder, like, what are those subtle ways we might be tempted to want things outside of God's provision in our own lives?
Right.
Are there things we're chasing after that seem appealing on the surface, but ultimately can't satisfy our deepest needs?
That's such a good question.
Yes.
It's like the story Dr. Oswalt shared about JCPenney, you know, the founder of the department store chain.
Yeah.
Even after achieving incredible financial success, he realized that true contentment wasn't found in all the wealth he had accumulated.
It's a powerful reminder that material possessions can only take us so far.
Right.
So we've got this story of Gehazi's greed and deception with some pretty serious consequences.
Right.
But how does the story of the floating axe head tie into all of this?
Oh, that's where it gets really interesting. See, both stories are ultimately about God's provision, but they approach it from very different angles.
Okay.
Gehazi's story serves as a stark contrast to the experience of a group of prophets who encountered Elisha with a completely different attitude. And their story reveals a much different facet of God's provision.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this floating axe head.
Okay, so let's dive into that story and see how it all connects. All right. So these prophets, they're living together, right? And they've just outgrown their space.
Okay.
So they go to Elisha with this really humble request. They're like, hey, can we go down to the Jordan River and like build a bigger place to live?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no sense of entitlement there, you know?
Right.
There's no like hidden agenda or anything, just a genuine need.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a world apart from Gehazi's, you know, greed and all that.
Oh, right. It's like I'm noticing a real difference in like how they're approaching Elisha.
Yeah.
Gehazi was all scheming behind the scenes, trying to like manipulate the situation.
Yeah.
But these prophets are just open and direct.
Yeah, they're just like, here's our need.
And it seems like Elisha responds in a way that suggests a real closeness with them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he doesn't send a servant or anything.
He personally goes with them to the Jordan River. Like, he wants to be with them.
Yeah.
He's in fellowship with them.
And I think that the location itself is significant, too.
Oh, absolutely.
The Jordan River, that's where Naaman was cleansed of leprosy.
Right.
And now it becomes this place of, like, potential loss, but also miraculous recovery.
That's right. Yeah. It's like the stage is set for God to do something incredible.
Yeah, for sure. So that's where the borrowed axe head comes in.
Okay. Right. So one of the prophets is working with this axe. It's borrowed.
Oh.
And the head just flies right off and sinks into the river.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine the panic?
Oh, I can only imagine.
It's not just about losing a tool. It's about losing something that's valuable that doesn't even belong to you.
Right, right. I can totally relate to that feeling. Like, I once lost a friend's favorite book, and I was so stressed about how to replace it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sometimes losing something small can feel really big.
Absolutely. And especially back then, during the Iron Age.
Yeah. Iron was a precious commodity, you know? Mm-hmm. This borrowed axe was probably essential for their livelihood. So this seemingly small incident actually had big consequences.
So how does Elisha respond to this?
Well, he does something remarkable.
Okay.
He takes a piece of wood, throws it into the water, and get this, the iron axe head floats.
Wow.
It's a moment that completely defies the laws of physics. It really highlights God's power to intervene even in the most ordinary situations.
Right. It reminds me of, like, in the Old Testament when Moses threw the tree into those bitter waters to make them drinkable. Like, God provides these solutions in such unexpected ways.
Yeah, exactly. And then Elisha says to the prophet, take it up.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't just perform the miracle. He involves the prophet in the process.
Yes.
Like, God often provides the solution, but we have to take that step of faith to actually receive it.
I like that. It reminds me of times when I've prayed for a solution, but then realized that I needed to also take some practical steps to move forward.
Exactly. God's provision often involves our participation. And it makes me wonder, is there a deeper meaning here? Like, with this piece of wood that makes the impossible possible, could this be pointing to something even greater?
I see where you're going with this, the cross. The ultimate piece of wood that connects us with God and restores what was lost.
Yes. And that connection brings us right back to Gehazi. You know, while he was trying to get rich through deception, the prophets humbly sought God's provision and experienced his power in a miraculous way.
Yeah.
Their stories show us two very different ways of relating to God's provision.
It's a good reminder that God is always working, even in those seemingly ordinary moments of our life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And his provision might not always look like what we expect.
Right.
But it always serves a greater purpose. It's about more than just material things. It's about restoration, relationship, and ultimately drawing closer to God.
So as we reflect on these stories, what are some key takeaways for us?
Yeah.
How can we apply these ancient narratives to our modern lives? You know, it's amazing how these stories, even though they're so old, they still speak to us today.
They do, don't they?
They really make you think about, like, your own motivations and desires.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're holding up a mirror to your heart.
I think what's really cool is how Dr. Oswald connects these two stories.
Right.
Because, you know, at first glance, they seem totally unrelated, right?
Right.
But it really highlights how interconnected biblical truth is. And he doesn't shy away from the tough questions, the parts that make us uncomfortable.
Right.
He really wants us to to wrestle with the text and find our own meaning in it.
And he does it in such an engaging way, you know? It's not like a dry, boring lecture.
No, not at all.
He uses humor, yeah. And he's so clear, you know? It's just a really captivating exploration of God's character.
Right.
And how he interacts with us, even in our mess-ups.
Yeah, and speaking of mess-ups, you know, one of the things that really stands out to me is this emphasis on God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
Even when we make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like Gehazi's story shows us that our choices have consequences.
Right.
But it also shows the depth of God's mercy.
Right.
I mean, even though Gehazi faced those consequences, you know, God still used him.
Right.
To fulfill his purposes.
That's really encouraging, you know, because it means even when we mess up, God's grace is still bigger.
It is.
He can redeem our failures and use them for good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the story of the floating axe head just, it reinforces that message of hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's this powerful reminder that God is in the business of restoring what's been lost.
Right.
He could do the impossible.
Yeah.
He's not limited by what we think is possible. Mm-hmm. And he's always ready to extend his grace and provision to those who humble themselves before him.
It's like he's saying, come to me with all your needs, all your brokenness, the things that seem impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for you, and I want to provide for you to heal what's broken.
I love that. Oh. It's not just about passively receiving either.
Mm.
God invites us to participate. Remember how Elisha told the prophet to take up the axe head?
Yeah.
In the same way, God calls us to actively take hold of the blessings he offers.
Yeah.
You know, to be part of his work in our lives.
So we've got these two contrasting stories, Gehazi's greed, which leads to these really serious consequences.
Right.
And then the prophet's humility leading to this miraculous provision. What can we, you know, as modern listeners, learn from these ancient narratives? How can we apply this to our lives today?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what Dr. Oswald really wants us to think about.
Yeah.
He challenges us to think about those areas in our lives where we're experiencing lack or brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
He asks, you know, what lost things in your life might God be able to restore?
Right.
What impossible situation might he be inviting you to trust him with?
It's a really powerful invitation to look beyond our current circumstances and to believe that God can do miracles in our lives.
And his provision might not always look like what we expect.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about restoring relationships or healing emotional wounds.
Yeah.
Or simply providing guidance when we need it most.
It's about recognizing that even when things are tough, God is there.
Mm.
And he's offering us hope and restoration. He's inviting us to trust him and to be a part of his work and to experience his provision in every area of our lives.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into these amazing stories from 2 Kings, I hope you're left with a sense of awe and wonder.
Yeah.
At the power and faithfulness of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sees our needs, he hears our cries, and he shows up in ways we could never imagine.
It's definitely been a thought-provoking deep dive for me.
It has.
And it's a challenge to live out these truths, but it's also an incredible privilege to know that we serve a God who is so involved in our lives.
So well said.
Mm-hmm.
To our listeners out there, as you go about your week, I really encourage you to reflect on these stories, examine your own heart, and ask God to reveal those areas in your life where he might be inviting you to experience his provision.
And remember, no matter what you're facing, no matter how impossible your circumstances may seem, God is with you, he's working on your behalf, and he wants to restore and redeem every area of your life. Until next time, keep seeking truth.